You know, the truth is that we all must prepare for things that are ahead of us. We all must prepare for things that are in the future. Okay, we have financial things. You know, you have to prepare for your future financially. Come on, there's things that you have to prepare for your family, just life in general. And it's the same thing really with departing or one day making that transition where we go up in glory and meet the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. So there's a true story of a wilderness guy experience. All right. And so let me say again, this is a true story. Okay. So back in 1982, there was a 35-year-old photographer who decided that he was going to be dropped off in the tundra of Alaska, out in the middle of nowhere, out in the wilderness. He was going to be dropped off, and as a photographer, he was going to chronicle, he was going to take pictures of all of the different things of wilderness life. And, of course, so he made great preparation because he was going alone, nobody with him. It was going to be all about, you know, how he prepared. His survival depended on his preparation. So he had to know the climate. He had to know how many days he was going to be there. He had to know, you know, what kind of equipment he needed. He had to know how much food he needed. I mean, he had all kinds of preparations that had to be made so that he could survive. But what happened is that through all of these preparations and all of these things that he was doing so that he could be there and he could enjoy and he could document, you know, and he was a photographer. He was all excited about what he was going to experience and what he was going to capture on film. But in the midst of all that, he forgot to prepare for his exit. And he died in Alaska because he had not scheduled or not prepared an exit strategy. No one came to get him. No one knew how long he was supposed to get there. And he literally died. This is not a make-believe story. This is not a make-believe story to set up where we're going. This is a true story. He was so involved in all of the preparations of what needed to be done in that moment that he forgot to come up with an exit strategy. And he actually chronicled his experience and his demise. And he said this in quotes, that he forgot to make specific arrangements to be picked up. And I should have used more foresight in arranging my departure. So as a Christian, we have this glorious earth life. It's a life of faith. We want it to be a glorious life. We want it to be a glorious story from beginning to end, from start to finish. But the truth is, you have to remember this, that you're remembered more for how you finish than how you start. It's very true, okay? So we have to understand that we're going to have to make sure that our faith, while we're here, is secure and we're living life. We're living a faith life in the earth wonderfully. But we also develop or we also prepare for our exit strategy. So I'm going to give you as a heads up just the four main points I'm going to talk about tonight. And hopefully as you hear some of these things, I'll get into detail and be able to substantiate them with scripture. But the main points I want to make are number one, knowing when your race is done. Spiritual maturity calls for us to have a sense of when our race is finished. If Paul sensed it, and he did in Rome, if Peter sensed it, and he did and talked about it, then we should be able to sense when our race is done. Even if we're not very sensitive to the Spirit, to know such things, the truth is we must consider such and acknowledge the real possibility that at some point we're going to get finished with our course. So number two is gaining the spiritually mature feeling that Paul had. Paul had a very conscious perspective that it was actually better to go than it was to stay. Okay, now let me make this statement. I'm not today trying to encourage anybody to go. However, I find that Christians, most Christians, are very much in the ditch of staying in the earth. At all costs, always, I'm staying in the earth. So we're in a ditch because that's not how really God sees it. There's a road, a path that we have. Okay? And so in order to get you out of the ditch tonight of everything, it's about earth light, stay as long as I can, do everything I can to stay here. In order for me to get you out of that ditch, I kind of have to pull hard the other direction. Right? If you're driving a car and you get off in the ditch, you have to pull pretty hard to get yourself back in the center of the road. All I want to do tonight is to help you get in the center of the road because it's important for you. It's important for your family members. It's important for your church members that we can be in the middle of the road and understanding about faith to stay and faith to go.
Amen.
Amen? So Paul had he actually was pondering in his life whether it was best for him to stay or whether it was for him to go. So the question is, why do few people ever choose to go? Why is it so hard to make the call and move on? Is it that we don't have a true heavenly perspective of what the afterlife as a Christian is really like? Number three, reconciling, everybody listen up, reconciling that for a Christian, dying is never defeat. Dying is never defeat. I'm going to say it again. Even if you die because you're sick, even if you die because you're young, even if you die because you're injured, dying is never defeat for a Christian. We must get this in
Amen.
Our reality. The Bible says death has no sting.
Amen.
The Bible says that death has no sting.
Amen.
Amen. So we must reconcile that so that we don't get caught up in a, just difficulty. Difficulty in people going, we must reconcile it. Number four, recognizing that the groaning for the redemption of our body, we do have a groaning that wants the redemption of our body, but that is not going to come yet until the Lord Jesus returns. And so we have to make sure that we get that straight. We have to not put so much emphasis on the physical body and trying to keep, the whole world is trying to stay young forever. The whole world is doing everything they can. We're not like the world. We have to realize that, physically we diminish. We have to be okay with that. Amen? Hallelujah. So the reason we want faith to stay, absolutely, we want to finish our course. We don't want anybody to go early. I'm not saying you have to go sick. You don't. Okay? But you have to have faith to stay. How many of you have noticed that you have to have faith to stay? I mean, come on, you and in this world today, you have to have faith to stay, faith to remain. But you also need faith to go. Because if you don't have faith to go, then what happens many times is we get laid up toward the end, trying to hang on, and then things happen. People get down and out, people get bedridden, people get no quality of life. As a Christian, it's about quality of life. Because listen, we have a wonderful quality of life once we depart.
Amen.
Amen? And so our job here is to have faith while we're here so that we can be effective, so that we can be productive, so that we can do the will of the Lord, so that we can do our kingdom assignments. And so then it's time to go on and we'll be ready to go. Amen?
Amen.
We do have to have faith to grow older. But listen, your faith is not going to stop that. Even the famous, we laugh at that, but it's almost like people think they can use their faith to prevent growing older. It just doesn't happen that way. No great faith preacher has ever said that you can use your faith to not grow older, to not die. Because it's just not true. It's going to happen to all of us. The world looks at it like just getting old is horrible. The world, they despise it. But God does not feel that way about it. And neither should we. When I turned 40, I'm 54. I don't have any problem saying my age wherever I go because I say it all the time. I'm just passing through. And when I'm out of here, when it's my time, I'm going, I'm out. I'm not staying a day later. I'm not tied to this. As soon as I know I'm finished, I'm ready to go. And don't shed a tear for me. You'll see me again.
Yeah.
Be happy that I've gone. But when I turn 40, 40, the big, of course they say 50 now is like 40. But back in the day, 40 was like they wanted to give you the big cakes with the tombstones on them. And, everything from here is downhill. And I just rebuked that. I just rebuked it.
Yeah.
Because age is just a number, and your mental thought about it has a lot to do with the reality of what you live in with it. But I decided at 40 that I was going to turn it around. I understood at that point that I needed a heavenly perspective. And so I decided to start realizing that once I was 40, now every year was just a year closer to Jesus. Hey, listen, the ultimate goal is to get to Jesus. The ultimate goal is not to hang on as long as we can. I don't want to go. No, we do what we do here so that we can get to Jesus. So, you know, praise God, I'm 14 years closer now to Jesus than I was. And I'm really happy about it. I really am. I'm not just saying these things for the message tonight, but I'm really happy that I'm getting on toward Jesus. Because the world holds nothing for us. The world holds nothing for us. But we do have faith, and we can have faith, that as we're here in this life, about our kingdom work, in our assignments, walking our race, we can have faith to live in the newness of life. Come on, we can have faith that we're going to live strong. Come on, we don't have to be feeble. We don't have to be down and out. Let me give you some scriptures. Romans chapter 6, verse 4. God said that we could walk in the newness of life. We can walk every day. We can walk in the newness of life. Every day. It's available by the Spirit of God to walk in the newness of life, where we're not feeling old and decrepit, but that we're new, we're revived, we're refreshed, we're strengthened. Come on, there's all kinds of scriptures. Psalm 103, verse 2 and verse 5. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Here's a benefit, verse 5, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Hallelujah. 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 We have to have faith in this. Come on. Come on. We should be living fully in the earth. While we're here, we got to do it. We got to do it well. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 7, talking about Moses. Moses was 120 years old when he died, but it says this, his eyes were not dim, nor was his natural vigor diminished. Hallelujah. So while we're here, we've got faith to stay here. We've got faith to finish our course. We've got faith to live in the newness of life. We've got faith to have our youth renewed. Praise God. Hallelujah. But age doesn't stop. Living in the faith and the realities of those things does not make age stop. Your years are still going to add up. You can say that you're 25 again for 25 years when you're really 50. It's fine, but the truth is you're really still 50. The outer man is going to perish. Everybody turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Listen, and we're faith people. Faith people don't deny truth. So faith doesn't deny that we're getting older. Faith doesn't deny that our body perishes. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Hallelujah. Listen, it's all about the spiritual life. It's all about the inside of us. It's all about what's inside of us. We need to be excited about that. I love that the Lord has to give the outer man's perishing, but yet the inner man, well, I mean, we're just getting better and better, broader and broader, stronger and stronger day by day. You know what I've learned is the more years you have behind you, the longer you've walked with the Lord and the more things you can know. Come on, there's an advantage to getting along with the Lord here because we get to know some things. But I love that it says don't lose heart. Don't lose heart that the outer man perishes. Don't lose heart that we're getting older. I don't like when Christians say, oh, you know, I'm getting old. Don't say it. Don't lose heart about it. It's no big deal. If you'll learn to live this way, it'll be a lot funner as the outer man perishes. So we can't get sad. We can't get depressed. Listen, we got to take care of what we got. Yes, we got to take care of what we got. We got to, you know, be as healthy as we can. You want to take care of it. You want to do well. I mean, it's all good. But don't get sad, you know, when you see a new wrinkle, or don't get sad when you see more gray hair, or that your hair, you don't have quite so much of it. Hey, it's going to happen. Amen. It's going to happen. To everybody. To everybody. Even the famous worldly people that are trying to find the fountain of youth and going under the knife and everything else. I don't have a problem with the knife if you want to do that, but I'm just saying, they're still going to, those wrinkles, those gray hairs, they're still coming. Praise the Lord. So what does God say about age? Let's look at Psalm chapter 90, verse 10. You know, what are we aiming for? I'm just trying to throw out some things tonight, so don't get mad at me if I step on any toes. You know, I find a lot of Christians aim for an age, a number. I'm not aiming for a number. I'm aiming for finishing my course.
Amen.
And as soon as I know it's done, I'm finished. I'm really serious. I mean, there's days I just think, Lord, let it be now. Oh, Psalm chapter 90, verse 10. The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow. Look at that. You can live to 70 and 80, but there's just going to be labor and sorrow with it. For it is soon cut off and we fly away.
Hallelujah.
So here you see, you know, a lot of people see this as a promise. I'm not saying it's not. I'm just going to show you, though, that as you see, as some of the apostles and some people, Jesus didn't live to be 70. I bet you never thought of that. Jesus is our example. Jesus came to show us how to live in the earth. He came with an assignment, and when the assignment was done, he departed. But we do need something to anchor ourselves to. You know, if you want to anchor for 70 or 80 years, that's fine. But you just got to make sure you're doing it with the will of the Lord. Deuteronomy 34:7 now says that Moses was 120 years old when he died. So some people say, well, that's a promise. You know, I should be able to live 120. Again, I'm not opposed to that. What I am opposed to is you making a statement very flippantly just based off of your own soul and not really connected with God that you don't then make, and then you have everybody around you has to deal with it.
Right.
Because that messes with your faith. It messes with your church members' faith. It messes with your family members' faith. Some of these declarations, in my opinion, they ought to be made, if you're making them, you make them to the Lord with yourself. Okay? But we got to do these things really in the will of the Lord, because it's more about assignment than it is about a number. Amen? So God hates death. We know that, right? It's very clear from the scriptures. He is life. There's no death in him. Death was never God's original plan for man. Man chose death. Okay? So man chose death, and because of the system that we're in, death is here. And I want you to know that the devil glorifies death. The world glorifies death, always talking about it. There's so much sorrow about it. You know, you cannot hear a thing about a person. Just look at famous people, because, you know, they're the ones that are always coming through the media. I mean, someone can be famous 40 years ago and you not heard a single thing about them, but the minute they die, it's like, let's talk about them dying. You know, it's always about death. The devil gets glory out of that. Us talking about death. You know, the horror movies and the scary, all that stuff about death. So the world and the devil like to glorify death in that manner as it being sorrowful. Well, it is sorrowful really for them, but they don't know that in that way. But there's a thing of the world that tries to make death always be bad. And I want to tell you that even though God hates death, the system that we're in right now is that one day, till Jesus comes, all of our physical bodies die. All of our physical bodies are going to die. They're going to depart. We're going to be made to go to heaven. Jesus redeemed us from spiritual death. Praise the Lord for that. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord for that. We're happy about that. But until he comes, there is a current system that we live under, that every Christian lives under, that no matter what your faith is, there's a system that we live under. And it is that one day our physical body dies, it departs, and it goes to heaven. And so there is no escaping that. Okay? There's no escaping that right now in this system. Let's look at a couple of scriptures that just talk about the redemption of our body, just so you know it's coming. Romans chapter 8, verse 23, it says, not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. So because death is foreign to us, we're waiting for that. We want to be, it's going to be a wonderful day when there has to be no physical death of the body. That's exciting. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 54. At the rapture, so when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Hallelujah. So at that point, physical death is going to be swallowed up. Praise God. Hallelujah. But until then, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55 through 57 says, O death, where is your sting? Okay? Even without the physical redemption of our bodies right now, death has no sting. Because we get to go to God, because we get to be with God, because we get the ultimate reward of the decision that we made in the earth. And so we have to make sure that while we're here, while we're under this system, okay, that we can view departing properly. We've got to have a view like Paul. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 1, verse 20. Paul's view while in this system, listen to this. He said, now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. What? Paul said that Christ was going to be magnified even in his death. Not that death was going to be a defeat. Not that death was going to be a bad thing. No, that even in his death, that Christ was going to be magnified in that. Hallelujah. What about God's view while we're in this system? In Psalm chapter 116, verse 15, says this, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. God doesn't see his saints, his people dying as bad. He sees it as precious. He sees it as them getting the reward of the decision that we've made in the earth to accept him, to receive him, to live for him. God says it's a precious thing. How many of you, don't raise your hands, last time someone died, you thought it was a precious thing? That's the perspective that we have to have. It's true. You can see tonight how we're kind of off in the ditch over here with some of the ways that we think about some of these things. The truth is that we have an assignment, we have a purpose, we have a race to run and a race to finish. Jesus said it. He said he chose us that we would bear fruit. John chapter 15, verse 16. So we all have a race. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Why am I giving so many scriptures? Because you need to see it in the scriptures. So that you don't just get mad at me and walk out thinking, what is she talking about? God has a view on this, and we need to have the same view that God has. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Each and every one of us have a race set before us. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 and 25. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. Come on, we got to run to win the race. There's a race. There's stuff in your course. Come on, there's assignments for you. There's things that you have to do. And it's specific to every individual. The race is not the same. The race, the things that are in your race, and I have to say this, the distance of your race is not all the same. I'm going to say it again. the distance of all of our race is not the same. There comes a time when we're done and we have to recognize it and have faith to go. We have to recognize it and be okay with it so that we don't get caught trying to remain. When we're caught trying to remain in something that's really not the perfect will of God, God, it's a struggle already. Come on, how many of you know it's a struggle already when it is the will of God with your own faith too? So when we're stepping outside the perfect will of God, getting into the permissible will of God, trying to prolong things, it becomes more difficult. Paul said this in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. He said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Paul declared that he finished his race. He knew he had a race, and he knew he finished it. Jesus said this in John chapter 19, verse 30. He said, it is finished. In bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. So we've got to realize that if there comes a time in everybody's life when we finish our course and when it's time to go ahead and depart, that then we can't always see dying and we can't always see departing as a loss. We can't always see it as a defeat. Do you know that the disciples, the apostles, they didn't want Jesus to go when he died? They wanted him to stay. They wanted him to remain. But he knew he was finished. So certainly Jesus hanging his head and giving up the ghost, because, you know, he gave himself up. Nobody got to take his life. He gave up his life. And that's where we should be. Nobody gets to take your life. No devil, no enemy, no nothing gets to steal your life. That's not what I'm talking about tonight. But us deciding when we're done, I finished, I've done well. I finished what God wants me to do. And us being able to go, that's a victorious thing rather than something of defeat or a loss. We're just passing through.
That's right.
Amen. Even when God made it this way, we're just passing through. In this system, it was never meant to be all about just the earth life and how long can I stay and just so focused on being here. It's not the goal. The goal is to get to Jesus. But the goal is to get to Jesus having finished your course in keeping the faith.
Amen.
Keeping the faith. We want to depart by faith. We don't want to depart against our will. We want to depart by faith. We want to depart because we know it's time to go. There comes a time when we have to decide that I'm satisfied. Psalm 91, verse 16, the Lord says, with long life I will satisfy him and I will show him my salvation. With long life, I will satisfy him. That means that at some point we're supposed to be satisfied.
Amen.
At some point, we have to get satisfied. At some point, we have to say, this is it. I mean, it's wonderful, but I'm ready to go. Hallelujah. So it's not just about a number. It's about recognizing when with the Lord you feel satisfied and being able to recognize it. Why is that so difficult? Why is that so difficult? Number one, because really, truthfully, we weren't created for physical death. Okay? We weren't created to die originally. So it's foreign to us. Okay? It's foreign. The whole concept of the body, because we're all about life. We're all about life in the body and life in the spirit. And so for us to have that stop, it's foreign. The other problem is that the earth life is all we know. This is where it could really help you if you could get a heavenly perspective. Because we're so intent here. All we know is this. And so we're working so hard to live victorious, which we should. to have a good life that Jesus provided, which we should. But listen, all of that pales. It pales in comparison to heaven. That's why most people that go don't want to come back. Seriously, most people that go don't want to come back. And the few that have had to come back, they will tell you that they said, I don't want to go back. Because once we get a true glimpse of heaven, but I believe that we ought to be able to have a reality, a glimpse of heaven now. I really believe that. What it would be like to have no sin, no temptation, no destruction, no sorrow, no sadness, no sickness. What it would be like to live in perfect love and perfect peace and perfect joy. So we have to build in ourselves in order to prepare for our departure. We have to build in ourselves this heavenly perspective of what heaven is all about. Of what heaven is all about. Really, it should be more the thing of we're having to use our faith to stay in the earth. I'm using my faith, Lord, to stay in the earth. You know, recently, I won't say where or why, but recently I was in a place and I was like, Lord, remind me again, why do I do this? Lord, can't I just go? The earth life is all we know in our soul, but the earth life should not be all we know in our spirit. And if we can build in ourselves the reality of the wonder of heaven, we'll have a better chance of being able to embrace one day being satisfied and going. The other reason is people. People, sometimes family members want to hold people. And so you need to listen to this very carefully. Don't do that. You need to be prepared enough so that when people have a liberty to say, you know what, I'm ready to go. And it's not like, oh, you don't want to be with me. Oh, don't you love me enough to stay? No. I knew someone who had a mother that they were extremely close to. And their mother got sick, and their mother was sick for a long time. Their mother eventually got bedridden, which was a strain on the mother. It was a strain on the husband. And I remember hearing how the mother would say to her daughter about letting her go, that she wanted to go. And her daughter would plead with her. Don't go, I'm not ready. Don't go, I'm not ready. This went on for years and years and years. In a bed, in a room, not able to get up, in pain, being denied the reality of heaven because her family member wanted her, needed her so much. It's a wrong perspective. It's real in our soul, but it's a wrong perspective. We're going to have to change it. I remember the day that this mother said to the daughter again that she was ready to depart, and the daughter said, okay. That night, she took hands with her husband. I think they renewed their wedding vow. And she departed. Simply being held here by someone's will. Shouldn't be so. We have a wonderful reality of heaven. And we have to be mature enough to let people go. Even if it's before. The truth is, we're never ready. The truth, I bet no one in here could ever say that they were ever ready for a family member or a friend or anybody to depart. We're never, in our soul, we're never ready for that. But we don't live by our soul, okay? We don't make decisions by our soul. We have to do things spiritually in the earth. We have to let people go. And we have to be willing ourselves to let us go and not be held on to soul ties in the earth. Well, I want to see this. I want to see my kids get married. I want to see my grandchildren. I want to see this. All those things seem like they're so important, but they're earth life. They're not always the main important thing to God. So we're going to have to understand that we're going to have to be willing to let go. And we have to do it from the inside. We have to do it in the will of God. F.F. Bosworth, who he died when he was about 81 years old, somewhere around there. He made this quote. I love this. He said, this is a quote. He said, "It's the greatest day of my life. God has shown me that I'm going home." It wasn't defeat. It wasn't, oh no, I'm not going to get to this and that in the earth. This is the greatest day. Do you know who F.F. Bosworth is? Do you know, he was like a great healing evangelist. I mean, saw mighty things of God, mighty miracles. The greatest day of his life. What a perspective. I'm going home. Hallelujah. I love that. Jesus knew when it was his time, and he escaped all other departures until then. So again, I'm going to say it. Don't let anything take you out early. Okay? But when it was his time, he went at the age of 33 and a half, and it was certainly not defeat. Right? He said this in John chapter 12, verse 23. Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified." So he knew his time was coming. You know, and it just seems like there could have been so much more that if Jesus could have just stayed 5 more years. Come on, if he could have just stayed 5 more years, surely he could have got a lot more disciples. Come on. Come on, if I just stayed 5 more years, surely I could make the kingdom a little bit more understandable, a little bit more visible. I'm saying there's always seems reasons to stay. But Jesus knew it was his time to go. So he bowed his head and he went. Same with the Apostle Paul. Turn with me over here to Philippians chapter 1. Let's read this. I want you to see Paul's perspective here. First of all, let me point out that the Apostle Paul was born approximately in 5 A.D. and he died between 67 and 68 A.D., sometime before Nero died, because it was Nero that was involved in his killing. So he was approximately 63 years old. Paul the Apostle did not make 70. Paul the Apostle did not make 80. Paul the Apostle, who knew God pretty well, who understood faith, got the whole revelation of faith in the earth. And people are interested and say, well, he was an apostle. You know, an apostle, there wasn't a reason. It's not so. It was a reason because he had a course and a race. And he already said that he finished. We saw a while ago, he said he finished his course. He finished his course at 63, finished. Again, I'm not proposing that anyone, just because you're 60 or 70 or 80, I'm not proposing that anyone go. I'm just trying to help us get a good perspective so that when, listen, because we're all going to go at some point, and the church has got to turn this thing of it always being bad and always being a defeat and always being a loss. We've got to turn it around. That's right. And part of the way we turn it around is by each one of us having the right perspective with other people. You, I don't know, if you're around me, you've heard me say more than once, I mean, the day my assignment's up, I'm out of here, and don't shed a tear. I say it all the time because I'm serious about it, but I'm trying to prepare you. When I go, whenever I go, at whatever age I go, it will not be defeat.
Amen.
Because I get Jesus.
Amen.
So don't be sad.
Amen.
Don't let it mess your faith up. Well, gosh, she didn't live to be. Don't let that happen to you.
Amen.
So Paul made this statement: while he was healthy, not at a really what we would call a great old age. He was contemplating staying or going. And I want you to know that the Holy Spirit let him share his contemplation with us for a reason. This is written in the Word for a reason. Paul was actually contemplating here, Philippians 1, let's read it. "For I know this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Christ Jesus, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always. So now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." You hear that? To die is gain. Not loss, to die is gain. "But I live on in the flesh. This will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what shall I choose? I cannot tell. For I am hard pressed between the two." Trying to decide whether he's going to stay or go. He's trying to decide. Paul's trying to decide whether he's going to stay or go. "I'm hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you." This is how I feel Paul would say it. "Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith." First of all, you have to realize that Paul didn't have his will attached to anything but God. That's why his will wasn't important. It was what was needed for other people. But he said that to die was a gain, not a defeat or a loss. When Paul wrote this, he was 57 years old. Okay? He was 57 when he wrote this. Already contemplating staying or going. Staying or going. The Apostle Peter, let's look at him real quickly here, just to let you know how he knew he was going. The Apostle Peter was born in approximately 1 B.C. and died in approximately 67 or 68 A.D. He was 68 or 69 years old. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 through 15, he says, "Yes, I think it is right, as long as I'm in this tent, so as long as I'm in this body, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure you that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease." So he was already preparing to go. Hallelujah. So here's a good story. How many of you have heard of Smith Wigglesworth? Faith guy. Raised people from the dead. Okay, so here's the story of his wife. On New Year's Day, 1913, his beloved wife, Mary Jane, whom he affectionately called Polly, set off to fulfill a preaching engagement. During the trip, she died suddenly. The body was taken back to her home. At Brother Wigglesworth's instructions, the lifeless form of his beloved was carried to her room and laid on the bed. When the men who had brought her body had left, Smith closed the door. In the name of Jesus, he rebuked death and ordered it to give her up. Because we would be assuming here that she died prematurely, right? And his wife opened her eyes and looked straight at him and said, "Why have you done this, Smith?" "Polly, I need you," he said. "Smith, my work is finished," she answered. "God wants me." They talked for quite some time. Then Smith Wigglesworth said, "All right, I will let you go." She lay back upon the pillow and went with the Lord. In such a matter so important to his happiness, Wigglesworth willingly bowed to the will of God. Okay, now let's look at this story for a moment. His wife, preaching, in ministry, living, healthy, dies. Smith, knowing, you know, he's got faith in God to raise people, "Bring her home, I'm going to raise her up." Raises her up. So here she's raised up. I mean, here she's back alive. I mean, there's no struggling to get her back alive. Here she is alive. So at this point, she had a decision, right? I mean, at this point, there was no death staring them in the face. She was alive, but she says to him, "My work is finished. My work is finished." And he has to agree to let her go. Did you notice that? So, she was 54. She was 54 years old. She didn't make 70 or 80 or 120. But God said it was, she said that it was the will of God. She said it. Again, I'm not trying to tell you it's okay to go. I'm just trying to help the church. See, when we can't ever make a decision to go, then it appears to everyone that it is a defeat, that something went wrong, when really I think sometimes it's really that it's not that something went wrong. It's not that faith doesn't work. It's that true faith, true live Bible faith, can't be except in the will of the Lord. So sometimes we're trying to convince ourselves because we've got all these reasons of why we want to stay. But really, we don't have faith for it. And so then it becomes a struggle, and then it makes it look like to everybody that faith didn't work.
Right.
Yeah. That's good. I love this story because if Smith had not raised her, everyone would have assumed. Everyone would have assumed that the devil got the upper hand, that, and they would have questioned, you know, here's this woman of faith, and here, I mean, it messes people up. I've just seen it derail so many people. Yeah, we miss people when they depart. Yeah, we're going to miss them. But we have to be spiritual. We're going to have to grow up spiritually and realize that the things of our soul, they're going to have to be laid under so the church can be victorious in this area. In this area, this is the system that we live in, is that one day we're all going to go. So I say, let's go by faith. Let's go proving what God says is true. Let's go proving that we have a course, that we can know when we're satisfied, that we can know when we're finished, that we can tell everyone around us and help people get into the right. You know, we do have a choice. A friend of mine, actually my spiritual mentor, Laura, she was in a very bad car accident when she was younger and was burned over most of her body. And at that moment, she said that her spirit left her body and she went to the dividing line. And she was at the dividing line and she didn't see anything, which she's really mad about. She tells the Lord all the time, she's really mad. She didn't see heaven. She didn't, you know. But she got to the dividing line and she knew that it was her choice. It was her choice at the dividing line to go to heaven or to remain in the earth. It was her choice. And she said, I'm fully convinced that if I had made the choice to go to heaven, God would have been fine with it. But it was her choice. But she also knew that she had a purpose in the earth. And I mean, she's a wonderful minister and has affected thousands of lives all across the world. She chose to come back at much suffering and pain to herself. The things that she endured, I don't know, 20-something, however many surgeries, crazy stuff. But she did it because she had a purpose. She did it because she had an assignment. Okay? So we've got to know what's in front of us and know that we're going to work to do that and fulfill that. And then we're going to have to use our faith to know that it's over and go ahead and depart. The truth is that children, now listen, children are comfortable with what their parents are comfortable with. If you're not comfortable with departing, your children are not going to be comfortable with your departing or their departing or anyone else's departing. Even as adults, most often, adult children look to their parents to kind of see how they feel. So communicating early and often and throughout your life about them properly, about departing, like that it's not a bad thing, that it's not, you know, a defeat, that one day I'm going to go, one day I'm going to finish my assignment, you know, one day I'm out of here. And when I do, I don't want you to be sad. We've got to build this in our kids. And it helps you build it in your own life. Not, you know, I know people that won't talk about dying. I mean, they just don't even want to, you know, there are things that need to be considered. You can't just wait till you're suddenly, you know, at the very end and try to say it then. You need to, you know, it's kind of like sowing a seed. It's kind of like a seed for people. We need to be able to say things to them. You know, don't sorrow. Listen, there's actually a scripture in the Bible that says that we, the church, are not to sorrow like the world. We've got to figure out how to not sorrow like the world. And it doesn't mean that if I'm not sorrowful, I don't love them. That's not true. It's just that we're going to be spiritual and do it spiritual so that we can remain effective in the earth and finish our course rather than getting sad and defeated and burned out and now I can't do it and I can't continue on. Yes, you can continue on because nobody is your life and your source except God alone. Amen. Smith Wigglesworth needed Polly, he thought. He needed Polly, but he understood about bowing his will to the will of God. And we need, when we say these things, we need to say them with a smile on our face and with a happy, with a not a like a sad and a down and, you know, I'm going to cry. No, no, no. Hey, listen, I'm out of here, man. I am out of here. When it's over, I'm out of here. Don't shed a tear. Because it's going to be glorious. It's going to be God. Because I can tell y'all, yeah, I mean, when you get there, you wouldn't want to come back. I mean, even to see your grandkids. Did I just say that? I can't believe I said that. You know, we have to prepare, just like the guy that didn't make an exit strategy. We need to be able to look at death as just a part of this life and the end result. I want my death to be a good statement. I want my death, my departure to be representative of faith. Amen. So I don't have a problem talking about it. I don't have a problem. You know, we should be preparing. We should be talking to family members. I mean, make arrangements for your, you know, if you want a funeral, let somebody know what you want, how you want it done, if you want scriptures and songs. And there's nothing wrong with that. Rather than leaving people totally unprepared. You know, you need to prepare people for your departure. You need to have a will. People need to know your bank accounts and your passwords and your access so that people aren't just thrown all. I mean, you really need to have a departure folder. So let's just make a folder. How about it? Just some things, you know, when I depart. And the first thing when you open the page ought to be, glory, I'm in heaven. Laugh and shout.
Yes. Right.
Hallelujah. But literally, if we would prepare that way, you would feel better about your departure. Knowing that your family is prepared, knowing that, you know, it's just the best thing to do to make sure that we're prepared and that we've prepared our family. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. So we can know, and it is okay to go. And it is okay to go. You know, people say, well, if I don't get sick, how do I go? Well, you just give up the ghost.
Yep.
You just give it up by faith. I think you can do that, absolutely. I think people have done that. You know, Charles Capps recently, I think he went home to be with the Lord, I don't know, maybe a year ago, maybe a little more. But, you know, he knew he was going. He called Brother Copeland. The week before he said, if anybody needs to call, wants to talk to me, they better call me this week because I'm going home. Wow. And on Sunday, he had the whole week, and on Sunday, he departed. Wow. E.W. Kenyon, he has a funny story. He was totally healthy, nothing wrong with him. And he, I think he was like in his early 80s too, maybe 81. He told his family one morning, he got up and he said, I'm going home today. And they thought he was senile. They were thinking he's losing it, you know, I know what he's talking about. And so they said he was sitting, I think it was at the table. He was sitting at the table and all of a sudden he looked up and he said, yep, there's Jesus, I'm going, bye-bye. And he put his head down like that and departed. Those are good. You need to get those stories in you. You need to get those stories in you, not just have a little memory. You need to build that in you because you can do it that way. So, you, again, none of this is talking about you having to go out early or you having to. But I will say this again. Even if someone goes out early, it's still not a defeat. Because the ultimate reward is heaven. Yes. Hallelujah. I heard Jim Hockaday say this one time. Do y'all know who he is? He's been here to preach. He has a great healing ministry. He said this. He said that most Christians can't get healed because they have a fear of death. He said most Christians have a fear of dying. It's this thing about I can't, for all sorts of reasons. I mean, they put all sorts of, you know, whether it's that my faith is going to fail, you know, I'm going to leave my family. Well, he said, until you get over the fact that it is okay to die, you're going to have trouble getting healed. And it's totally true. Because we don't get anything from a stance of fear. We don't get anything from a stance of fear. So you have to be okay. And once the devil knows, I'm not scared of dying. I'm not scared of death. The devil has no control over my life in that way. Amen. And he needs to have no control over your life. And that will free you to be on top of the devil. See, people think, well, if I say that, then that gives him. No, it doesn't. It doesn't give him a right. It means that you have victory over him. Amen. He doesn't get to mess with me about dying at all. Praise the Lord. Has this helped you?
Yes.
I love the story of one of our church members here. Y'all remember Bill? Many of you remember Bill? Well, some of you probably don't know. I think Bill, where's Elaine? She's probably with the kids. God, Bill was 90-something. When he departed, 92 when he departed, and he wanted to depart. I mean, he was ready to depart, but people don't know that years before that, he had sat in the office with Pastor Chaz and I when he first started coming to the church, and he was already contemplating whether he wanted to stay or go. And he'd talk about, you know, why he wanted to be in heaven, but then, you know, some things he felt like he needed to do in the earth. And then y'all remember the story. Remember one time he got sick? I mean, real sick. They thought he was going to die. And one of our church members went and said, no, you know, let's not go out like this. If we're going to go, let's go out healthy. So, yeah, he's like, okay. So he got totally well. Yep. Coming back to church. A couple of years go by. And I remember, I don't know if y'all knew this, but when he got close to his time to go, we were on a mission trip. And he waited for the church member that had helped him in the time. He waited for her to get back. He said, I'm waiting for her to meet with her before I go. And we got back. She went over there either that day or the next day. And he went home like the very next day. Bill, HFC church member. No apostle. He actually said that. He said, tell the church not to pray for me this time. Because I want to go home. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Bill, HFC church member. Didn't have a worldwide ministry. Just a faith guy. Just somebody that knew God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If you've had somebody that's departed for whatever reason, no matter what age, get out of your heart that it was a defeat. Because they're with Jesus. And life is wonderful. And they wouldn't come back. Doesn't mean they don't love you, but they wouldn't come back.
Thank you for joining us for the preaching of God's Word. We trust that your faith and your love for God is stronger than ever before. More information about Stevenson Ministries and Houston Faith Church is available online at HoustonFaith.tv. Chaz and Joni Stevenson are the pastors of a dynamic, growing church in Houston, Texas, and have a New Testament vision of preaching the uncompromised Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, helping people get saved and building strong Christians who can impact their world. Houston Faith Church is a place where the love of God is real, where lives are changed, and where followers of Jesus become fishers of men.